Can it really be that I, little Natasha Rostov, that I am going to be the wife of this strange, dear, clever man, the distinguished Prince Andrei Bolkonsky?
You are so young, Natasha. Our engagement must remain a secret. I will go abroad, and if after a year...
Oh, yeah.
It is my father's wish. Time will pass, trust me. And should anything happen...
Nothing will happen. You will go, and you will come back, and we shall be married.
War and Peace by Leo Tolstoy. Dramatized by Marcy Kahan and Mike Walker. Episode 6, Natasha's Crucible.
The Tsar of Russia and the Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte are officially at peace. They say that Bonaparte has been busy with his plans to emulate Alexander the Great and conquer the Ottoman Empire, not to mention staging a coup d'etat in Spain and crushing the rebellious Austrians at the Battle of Bagram. Through all this, we Russians have remained officially neutral. Well, not that we have demobilized our army. Indeed, we have recently resumed trade with Bonaparte's major enemy, Great Britain. Is it any wonder, then, that by June of 1812, our friend and ally, Napoleon Bonaparte, has deployed 500,000 men on Poland's eastern frontier, a mere river's crossing from our territory? Oh, but what am I saying? We Russians are at peace. Our rulers exchange brotherly salutations. Our citizens enjoy themselves at parties and at the opera. Some even devote themselves to love.
What are you doing here, Papa?
Quiet, Pietia. You know that your mother is not well, so Maria Dmitrievna has kindly invited us to stay with her while we are in Moscow.
But I don't want to live with the old dragon lady.
Pietia, she'll hear you.
Well, you have to sleep in the snow.
There you are, Doctor. In the field, standing in a draughty hallway like cavemen.
Why didn't you come straight upstairs?
Oh, my dear Maria Dmitrievna.
And how is the dear Countess?
Oh, she's on the mend, my dear, but still too weak to travel. She can't thank you enough.
Thank me for extending hospitality to my own goddaughter. You're half frozen, all of you. Alyosha, bring some rum for tea. Oh, bonjour, Sonia, dear.
Maria Dmitrievna.
And who is this brave fellow?
I get you. Oh. Papa says that if I'm good, you'll recommend me to the Tsar, and I can join the cavalry.
Oh, what nonsense. Haven't you heard? Russia has made peace with Bonaparte.
Haven't you heard, Maria Dmitrievna? The peace won't last. Bonaparte's troops get closer to our borders every day. We're bound to be at war with them by spring.
From the mouths of babes, Maria Dmitrievna.
We're always in God's hands. In the meantime, our well-informed cavalry officer could sleep in the old nursery. Now, up to the drawing room. Come along.
Thank you. Thank
you.
Thank you. Really, come along.
Now then, we mustn't waste time. They say Prince Andrei is expected in Moscow any day now.
Oh, that's what he wrote to Natasha. When was it? 2 weeks ago?
That's right, Papa.
We must shop for the trousseau at once. Don't worry, Count. I know just where to go. Madame Superrogate takes care of all the fashionable girls in Moscow.
Splendid! That will leave me free to try to sell one of our estates. I think we found a buyer.
Oh, well, the girls will be safe with me, Count. I'll take them where they must go. Scold them a bit. And pet them a bit. Now, whom shall I invite while you're here? There's Pierre Bezukhov. He's here in Moscow with that glittering wife of his. He ran away from her, and she came galloping after him.
Yeah, the girls have always been fond of Bezukhov.
Well, you're sure to run into them at the opera. And now, there's something important we have to discuss. Sonia, dear, why don't you help Pietra get settled in his room?
Of course, Maria Dmitrievna. Come, Pietra.
not my bedtime yet.
In this house, it's your bedtime.
Good night.
Good night. I suppose you know what I have to say.
Oh, Prince Bolkonski, he's here in Moscow. Natasha and I are duty-bound to pay him a visit.
Exactly. Natasha has hooked herself a fine fellow. Prince Andrei, since he was so high. Now, they say that old Bolkonski opposes the marriage.
So he here, but Natasha isn't marrying the father.
I know. Prince Andrei can shift without him, but it's not right to enter a family against the father's will. Now, listen, Natasha. Princess Maria, your future sister-in-law, has asked me to bring you two together. Tomorrow, you'll go with your father to see her. Be affectionate to her. Then, when Prince Andrei gets back, he'll find you already know his family and are liked by them. Am I right or not? Won't that be best?
I hope so, Maria Dmitrievna. Why is she saying all this? Doesn't she realize that Andrei's family is irrelevant? All that matters is that I love him. And that very soon he's going to walk into this room and make me his wife.
Yes? Count Rostov and his daughter Natasha to see Prince Bolkonski and Princess Maria. Wait here, please.
Typical of old Bolkonski to live in the gloomiest house in Moscow.
There is no need to be nervous, Papa. I refuse to be nervous. After all, they can't help liking me. Everybody's always liked me, and I'm so willing, so ready to be fond of him, simply because he's Andrei's father.
I will not see them. You may do as you please, madame.
Hear that? Old Bolkonski in a temper.
I'm sure it's nothing to do with us, Papa.
Count Rostov, and you must be Natasha, Prince Andrei's betrothed. I am Mademoiselle Bourienne, Princess Maria's companion. I'm afraid Prince Bolkonski is not receiving this morning, but Princess Maria begs you to wait in here.
Of course, my respects to the prince. Perhaps he's feeling poorly.
Yes, poorly. Believe me, dear Count, I could tell you a story. Count Rostov, please. Forgive me.
Princess Maria, no apologies needed. Here, dear princess, I brought you my songstress, my Natasha.
How do you do? It's wonderful to meet you at last, Princess Maria. How grimly she looks at me. She might at least try to smile.
Well now, dear princess, it's high time you got to know one another. So if you will allow me to leave my Natasha in your hands for a quarter of an hour... I have business round the corner, if you would be so kind.
Please, Count Rostov, take as long as you like.
Half an hour of the most, dear princess. Mademoiselle, enjoy yourself.
I imagine, Countess Rostov, that you have been studying the latest Moscow fashions.
Fashions? Yes. Mind you, I love new clothes. And there's so much to prepare before... You know, before Prince Andrei returns.
Not to mention the theatre and the opera.
Yes. Maria Dmitrievna has arranged for us, me and my cousin Sonia, to visit the opera this evening.
Oh!
Maria Dmitrievna has her own box.
But how marvellous! Her own box! Princess Maria, that's where we should go. The opera!
I've no time for those sorts of amusements, I'm afraid.
No. I imagine there are so many other things to do. This is awful. Why doesn't she send the French woman away so we can talk? It's because she hates me. That's obvious. And she doesn't even mention Andrei. She doesn't want me to have anything to do with Andrei. Oh.
Please, I'm talking with the Countess Natasha.
I beg you to excuse me, Countess. God is my witness. I did not know you had honored us with a visit. To appear before you in my nightshirt and slippers. I came in such a costume only to see my daughter.
I would never intend to humiliate you, Countess. You, of all people, in such a thoughtless manner.
Papa, how may I help you?
How may you help me, madame? Now, there's a question. Countess, God is my witness. I did not know.
He is ailing, poor man. So many ailments, Countess. If you only knew...
That's enough, Amelie. Now, please, go and see if he's all right.
But, of course. Enjoy your stay in Moscow, Countess.
Countess Rostov, may I offer some tea?
No, thank you, Princess Maria. It's really time for me to go.
Natasha, I want you to know I am truly glad that my brother has found happiness.
I think, Princess, it is a little late to speak of that now. If you don't mind, I'll wait for my father in the hall.
As you wish, Countess. What have I said? What have I done?
I tried, Andre. I really did try. Oh, why don't you come home?
Natasha!
No use crying over those dreadful people. It wasn't your fault.
You didn't understand.
Oh, don't say that. How do you think I feel? I miss Nikolai every moment of the day, and I have to live with the knowledge that your mother is opposed to us.
Mama loves you, Sonia.
She thinks Nikolai should make a rich marriage. And Maria Dmitrievna doesn't approve of me either.
That's nonsense.
It isn't nonsense. She can't help treating me like the poor little cousin of the Rostovs.
We're going to our very first opera, and all we can do is cry.
And I'll be cheerful if you will.
Very well. After all, it was all Ponsky's matter. Andre's the one I love, and if he insists on delaying his return, I shall put him out of my mind for the present. It's time we enjoyed ourselves, Sonia.
Yes.
Well, my girl, how do you like it? Glittering tier upon tier, golden chandeliers, plush velvet, dazzling evening gown, brilliant uniforms, all Moscow society humming and buzzing before you.
Everyone seems to be staring at us for fair.
So they are, and who can blame them? The sudden arrival of two enchanting young girls.
Maria Dmitrievna said everyone would be curious. All Moscow knows that you're secretly engaged to Andrei Bolkonsky.
So that's it. Well, I don't mind. I should say that.
Natasha, look. This row center. Our Anna Drubetskoy in an enormous green dress.
How pleased with herself she is.
They say that her Boris and Julie Karagin have set the date for their marriage.
No wonder she's looking pleased for the future daughter-in-law by the millions of rubles.
There's Boris and Julie in the row in front. How odd it seems. We used to be so close, Boris and me.
Recognize that curly-headed fellow in the Persian coat, Sonia? Over there, lounging at the orchestra rack.
Dolohov? I thought it was a favorite girl.
They say he's been acting as minister to some ruling prince in Persia. They tell me all the Moscow ladies are mad about Dolohov.
Who is that woman who's just come into the next pause?
That's Ellen Bazukhov, Pierre's wife. I must introduce you. Countess Bazukhov.
Count Rostov, welcome to Moscow.
Here on business, my dear. I brought my girls. You remember my little Natasha and our niece, Sonia?
Little girls, indeed. They are charming, aren't they?
Count Pierre never used to forget us. Is he here?
No, not yet. He said he'd drop in later.
We'll see you in the interval, my dear Countess.
To be sure.
My dear wife, I'm sorry.
I think she's the most ravishingly beautiful woman I've ever seen.
And you're not upset anymore.
I told you, Sonia. I've resolved not to think of Andre. It's the only way I can survive this waiting. What's going on? Is that fat girl screaming to me?
She must be there.
It's the man in charge.
my trousers, maybe. It's a
So this is opera. Nothing but painted cardboard and silly posturing. What's that? An officer moving up the aisle. How handsome he is. He's sitting next to Dolokhov. Turning this way. Who's he waving at? Countess Hélène. Of course, it's her brother Anatole. They might be twins, both so handsome. Who is he staring at? Me! He's staring at me! Ignore him. We are here to watch the opera.
Come in, make yourselves at home. Some champagne.
My dear Countess Hélène, what a treat for my girls.
Your girls, Count Rostov. The whole town is singing their praises, and I don't even know them. Ah, here is my husband at last. Pierre, see, who has just arrived in town.
Count Ilya, Natasha, Sonia, see you here of all places.
Why shouldn't they be here, Pierre? Try not to be a name, my dear.
Who are you, Pierre?
Well, I'm a... But you, Countess Natasha, you've grown so... You've grown up since I last saw you. I imagine you're counting the days until Prince Andrei returns from abroad.
She's counting the hours. But look at you. You've grown stouter, dear boy.
That shouldn't surprise you, Count Rostov. My husband does nothing but eat. Do you know my brother Anatole?
Yeah, of course. How did you?
Count Rostov.
And his daughter, Natasha. My brother, Anatole Karagin.
Mademoiselle Natasha, are you enjoying the opera?
Very much. In fact, to say I'm not entirely used to it yet. He's even more handsome close up. He's gazing at my shoulders as if he would undress me with his eyes. Are you enjoying your stay in Moscow, Lieutenant Kuragin?
At first I did not like it much, because what makes a town pleasant are the pretty women. But now that I've met you, Countess, I like it very much indeed.
I see.
Promise me that you'll come to my sister's soiree on Sunday. The famous Mademoiselle Georges will recite. There will be an opportunity for us to become better acquainted.
I'm not sure.
Do come, my dear Countess. You shall be the prettiest there. I can see in your eyes that you want to.
Oh, my dear. That's a box for the second act. Good to see you again, dear. A thousand thanks, Countess Hélène.
The first of many encounters with your lovely girl. Isn't that so, Anatole?
To be sure. Good evening, Countess Natasha.
Good evening, Lieutenant Brody. I have done nothing. I didn't lead him on at all. Then why do I feel so wicked? Anyway, I shall never see him again. So Andrei can love me still. What do I mean, still?
Remember your promise, Countess.
Children, a little feast on a Sunday morning. The Countess Hélène Bezúkhov to see you. Countess Hélène? Oh, for goodness, Alyosha, send her in. Send her in.
My dear Count Rostov.
My dear Hélène, I'm afraid Maria Dmitrievna is not at home.
Don't be silly. It's you and these charming girls I have come to see. How can you live in Moscow and go nowhere? Newspapers and chessboards, really, now.
Oh, Countess, it is most kind of
you. No, I won't let you off. Mademoiselle Georges will recite at my house tonight. There will be the usual crowd. If you don't bring your adorable girls, who are prettier than Mademoiselle Georges, then I won't know you.
We would love to go. Wouldn't we, Sonia?
Very much. Thank you.
Excellent. Any time between 8 and 9, Countess.
Oh, very well, if my girls insist.
Now, walk me to my carriage, Natasha. There is something I must show you. My brother, Anatole, dined with me yesterday. We nearly died of laughter. He ate nothing and kept sighing for you, my charmer. Look at her, how she blushes. I don't know what to say. The fact is, Anatole is madly, quite madly, in love with you, my dear. Don't look so alarmed. Even if you're saving your heart for someone else, I'm sure your fiancé would wish you to enjoy yourself in society rather than be bored to death. A ce soir, ma petite.
She knows I'm secretly engaged. Pierre must have told her. And Anatole saying he's in love with me doesn't scandalize him. So I must be all right. And she's such a grande dame. So kind. And evidently likes me so much. Well, why not enjoy myself?
Please see your bets, gentlemen. Don't be shy. Anatole, where are you off to?
My sister's having one of her soirees. She's arranged for the little Rostov girl to be there.
Yeah, Natasha Rostov. Dark hair, huge eyes, delicate shoulders.
Precisely. The night's a dollar hot.
Oh, don't be silly, dear fellow. The girl's first rate, but she's not for us.
Well, don't be so sure. With a little help from my sister, Hélène.
No, you'd better wait till La Rostova is safely married. She'll welcome you with open arms then.
You know me, dollar hot. I prefer them green and virginal. They lose their heads at once.
Yeah, you've been caught out already by those green and virginal creatures.
Well, that can't happen twice, though, can it?
You scoundrel. Happy hunting!
Oh, dear, this is not what I expected.
What's the matter, Papa?
This crowd, my dear, I'm afraid they're rather notorious for their freedom.
What do you mean, freedom?
Never you mind, Sonny. Now, just stick close by me, both of you. We shan't stay long.
There you are. How naughty of you to be the last to arrive.
We were hoping to see Pierre.
Pierre's taken some of the country. Any excuse not to attend my soiree. Anatole, they're here.
Bravo, Countess Natasha.
You've kept your promise.
Come this way, Count Rostov, Mademoiselle Sonia. My cook has come up with the most entrancing order.
Mind you don't dawdle, Natasha.
How I've longed to see you again.
What a lively party. Is that the famous Mademoiselle Georges, surrounded by all the young men?
You can't pretend you haven't thought about me.
Is she a good actress? She's certainly very beautiful.
I don't think so. Not when I'm able to look at you.
Lieutenant Kuragin, please, you mustn't say such things to me. I'm engaged. My fiancé is a wonderful... an honourable man.
Don't speak to me of that. What can I do? I'm madly, madly in love with you. Is it my fault that you're enchanting?
Please, let go of my arm.
I can't. You have bewitched me.
You must kiss me.
Natalie, please. You must give me a chance. I love you so passionately.
Natasha!
Come in, Papa.
Natalie, just give me a word, a sign that you care for me a little.
I don't know what I feel. Please excuse me. Anatole loves me. He wasn't just playing a game. He loves me passionately and sincerely. But I love André. I've been in love with André for over a year. And suddenly, without meaning to, I met Anatole. But he kissed me just now. It was strange. There's Papa and Sonia having their supper. There's no one I can talk to. If only Mama were here. I've never felt so alone.
Now then, Ilya, Natasha. As you know, I paid a visit to Prince Bolkonski yesterday. I had a talk with him about Natasha's engagement to his son. Needless to say, he began shouting, but I am not one to be shouted down.
And?
He had no intention of listening. Meanwhile, we have worn this poor girl out. My advice to you, Count, is to finish your business here and return to the country. Natasha must wait for André out there.
Oh, no. I couldn't possibly leave now.
You must, my dear. If André returns while you're still in Moscow, there will be no avoiding a quarrel. But alone with the old man, André can make him see reason and then join you in the country.
Well, that's sound advice, Maria Dmitrievna. If you can bear to put up with my brood for a few days longer, I'll leave them with you while I complete this estate sale.
As you wish, Ilya. I shall be sorry to see you all go. Oh, now, before I forget, here's a letter for you, Natasha, from André's sister. Poor Princess Maria. How she torments herself. She's afraid you might think that she doesn't like you.
But she doesn't like me.
Don't talk nonsense.
I can't believe anyone. I know she doesn't like me.
Now, don't answer back, my good girl. Go up to your room this minute and write an answer.
Where's she bothered to write to me?
Dear Countess Natasha, I am in despair over the misunderstanding that has occurred between us. Whatever my father's feelings may be, and please remember that he is old and not used to change, you must believe that I could not help loving you as the woman chosen by my brother. Dearest Natasha, please write and tell me you have forgiven me.
Forgive her? Of course I forgive her. But after last night, everything has changed. I must write to her and explain that I have met someone else. Yes, I have fallen in love with another man. Have I? But what of Andre? I've spent a year dreaming of being Andre's wife. I still love him. And Anatole as well. I love them both. Don't I? Now go away.
Please, miss. A man told me to give you this. Oh, will you mind the time of Maria Dmitrievna that I gave you to, yeah?
Of course not.
Thank you. Him. It must be from here.
Since yesterday evening, my fate has been sealed.
To be loved by you, or to die.
To be loved by you, or to die.
I know that your parents will oppose me.
I know that your parents will oppose me, for secret reasons which I shall reveal only to you. But if you love me...
But if you love me, you need only say the word yes, and no human power could hinder our bliss.
Now, read this carefully and destroy this letter after you've memorized my instructions.
Yes, I'm fine, Sonia. Something's going on, Natasha. You must tell me. You must tell me everything.
I'm in love. And Anatole's in love with me.
Anatole?
Anatole Karagin, but you're engaged to Prince Andrei.
Sonia.
If you only knew how happy I am.
You don't know what love is.
I don't believe it. You've been waiting for Andre for a whole year and suddenly... Natasha, you've only seen Anatole Karagin twice. In 3 days to forget everything.
3 days. Seems to me I've loved him 100 years. Seems to me that I've never loved anyone before.
You're serious. You seriously intend to refuse Prince Andrei?
Sonia, as soon as I saw Anatole, I felt he was my master. And I his slave.
What nonsense.
I can't help loving him. Whatever he orders, I shall do. You don't understand. I love him. It's a secret. You must tell no one.
But what has happened between you and Anatole? What has he said to you? Why doesn't he come to the house?
He can't do that.
Why not? Why doesn't he openly ask for your hand? You know, Prince Andrei gave you complete freedom.
I don't know what the reasons are. But there must be reasons.
Natasha, what if he is dishonorable?
Dishonorable? He? If only you knew.
If he is an honorable man, he would declare his intentions in the usual way. I shall have to tell Papa.
Don't you dare! Sonia, please! I can't live without him.
Natasha, listen to yourself. You intend to break off with Prince Andrei for this mystery lover, this Anatole. Think of your father. Think of Nikolai.
I don't want anyone. I don't love anyone but Anatole. How dare you say he's dishonorable? If you tell anyone, you are my enemy.
How dare you say that to me?
Go away, Sonia. I don't want to quarrel with you, for God's sake. Just go. Let's settle then. I'm in love with Anatole. Maria Dmitrievna says I must send a reply to Princess Maria. Very well then. Dear Princess Maria,
I'm pleased to be able to tell you that our recent misunderstandings are now ended. Prince Andrei generously gave me my freedom before he went abroad. I therefore beg of you to forget and forgive everything, because the truth is, I cannot be Prince Andrei's wife.
Natasha! Oh, there she is. Can I say goodbye to your father?
I've written to Princess Marie.
Oh, excellent. Good girl.
I'd better be off. Goodbye, my dears. It's Sonia. Look after the theatre.
I will, Papa.
Natasha, my darling.
Safe journey, Papa.
Oh, there. No need for tears. Only a couple of days at the most.
I know. I'm just being silly.
Oh, my darling, Natasha. All will be well. Sonia, look after my Natasha for me.
I will, Papa. Natasha's planning something. I know she is. But if I tell Papa or Maria Dmitrievna, she'll accuse me of betraying her. Even so, I'll keep watch whether she likes it or not. I'll prove myself worthy of the family's generosity towards me and Nikolai's love.
There's 20,000 rubles, Anastasia. 10 from Elaine, another 10 we've managed to extort from God knows where.
You are a true friend, Donald.
Now, you're sure the little Rostov girl understands?
She's had clear instructions. Mm-hmm. I'll be waiting in a troika outside Maria Dmitrievna's backyard at 10 p.m.
Then you'll drive 40 miles to the village of Kamenka.
That's it, Kamenka, where an unfrocked priest will be waiting to perform the marriage ceremony.
From there, a relay of horses will take you as far as the Warsaw High Road.
And from there, we'll take post horses from town to town until we're well and truly abroad.
Here's your passport, and the orders for the post horses.
Right, thanks.
That's all. Now, you think you'd better forget the whole scheme? There's still time.
What?
No, I'm serious. It's been fun planning the thing, but to actually carry it out, that's no laughing matter.
Stop teasing, Dolohov. We'd better load the troika.
No, come back here. I wasn't teasing at all. I've helped you. I was the one that found the priest, got you the passport, raised the money.
Do you think I'm not grateful?
No, listen to me. This is a dangerous business. It's dangerous and stupid. Let us say that you managed to carry her off. Will they let it stop at that? They're sure to track you down in a toll. It will come out that you're already married. You'll find yourself in the criminal court.
I've worked that out. If I'm already married, then my second marriage is invalid anyway. Null and void, dear boy. Mm. That means I have nothing to answer for. Even if it is valid, no matter. We're going abroad, Dolohov. No one will know anything about it.
No, I still say you should forget it.
Go to the devil. No, come here. Feel my heart. Feel it. Feel how it beats. Just thinking of her ankles, her eyes. Oh, she's a goddess. You know she is.
Yeah, and when your money's gone, what then, eh?
What then? Oh, what then? Then I don't know. But why talk nonsense? It's time.
So it is. Now, wait. We must have a fur cloak.
Hey, Yada. Go to Matera Matriabna's and ask her for the sable cloak.
What the devil for?
I know a thing or two about an opponent. The girl will rush out more dead than alive, just in the things she's wearing. She feels the cold, there's a delay, tears, papa and mama. She's frozen and must go back. This way, you wrap the fur cloak round her first thick and carry her to the sleigh. Hey, presto, the bird is yours.
Dolohov, you're a genius. Damn, the house is all dark.
It's just gone 10. Here comes the maid's son.
Come into the courtyard or you'll be seen.
Is she ready?
She'll be up directly.
You follow the maid. I'll stay by the gate.
Right, come to the mistress, please.
To what mistress? Who the devil are you?
Kindly step in. My orders are to bring you in.
Hands
off me!
Come back here!
Come on, let's go!
Hell and damnation!
Well, that was a close one. Cheer up, dear boy. Let's go to the club.
Downstairs. No, the general would have run away.
Run away? No! It's not possible!
she is! You shameless, good-for-nothing hussy, arranging meetings with lovers in my house!
Let me be!
You listen when I speak to you. It's lucky for you, your Anatole Karagin, that he escaped me, but I'll find him. Do you hear me?
What is it to me? Let me be! I shall die after the Natasha.
Natalie, I wish for your good, but I just have to tell you how guilty you are. When your father returns tomorrow, what am I to tell him?
Oh, my God!
Suppose he finds out that Anatole tried to elope with you. Suppose your brother finds out, or your fiancé.
I have no fiancé. I refuse him.
No, Natasha, no.
That makes no difference. If they hear of this, will they let it pass? I know your father. Imagine him fighting a duel with his Anatole.
Oh, let me be. Why have you interfered? Why? What did you do?
What did you expect? Well, you kept on the lock and key. Who is it who's coming to the house? Why carry you off as if you were some filthy girl? He's a scoundrel. You cannot deny...
Anatole is better than any of you. If you hadn't interfered...
Oh.
It's your fault, Sonia. Go away. I can see you hate and despise me.
Natalie, stop. This is here. We won't tell your father. Nobody will know anything about this. Now, promise me that you'll behave yourself. She's tired out, poor thing. Well, let her sleep. I shall write to Pierre Bezukhov and tell him about the heartache his wife and that infernal brother of hers have caused.
Natasha? Please forgive me, Natasha. I had to tell Marie Dmitrievna. Imagine what Nikolai would do if he ever found out. Please don't look at me like that. It frightens me. Maria Dmitrievna is right. You must forget all about this Anatole. You can't still be in love with him. Why don't you say something?
Oh, fine doings, Count Bezukhov. For 58 years I've lived in this world and never known anything so disgraceful.
But has Natasha really broken off with Prince Andrei?
She wrote to Princess Maria without informing any of us, cancelling everything, and all because of this insane infatuation with your brother-in-law. Had I not intervened in time, they would be halfway across Europe now, safely married.
Married? Anatole can't marry. He's already married.
Oh, things get worse from hour to hour. Ooh, a nice youth, a proper scoundrel.
It happened 2 years ago. Anatole was with his regiment in Poland. He got a landowner's daughter in trouble.
Oh.
The landowner forced them to marry. When Anatole abandoned his wife, he agreed to pay his father-in-law a monthly payment in return for the freedom to pass himself off as a bachelor.
Natasha must be told. She sits up in her room expecting him to call to rescue her, as she calls it.
What Anatole has done to that girl is unconscionable.
I'm afraid your own wife did her best to bring them together.
Yes, I don't doubt it. Hélène and Anatole, two of a kind.
Count Bezukhov, imagine if Natasha's father or Prince Andrei should hear of this elopement. They will challenge Anatole to a duel. Someone might die. Natasha's reputation will be in ruins.
We must do our best to hush things up.
Exactly. And you must tell your brother-in-law to leave Moscow immediately and never dare to let me set eyes on him again.
Of course. Of course, Maria Dmitrievna, consider it done.
Now, Natasha must be told the truth about this Anatole. Then at least she won't go on expecting him.
Anything to keep us apart.
Please, Natalie, that's enough screaming. Here is Pierre Bezukhov. He can confirm whether I have told you the truth.
Count Bezukhov, it can't be true that he's married.
Yes, it is true. He told me himself.
There now. You can't doubt Pierre.
Is Anatole still in Moscow?
Yes. I've just seen him.
Natasha, he has no intention of coming to see you. Now, will you forget all this nonsense? You're making yourself ill.
Please. I need to be on my own.
Natasha, if there's anything I might do...
Leave me. All of you. Please leave me.
Father.
Andre, so you've returned, have you?
I know, I'm a week late. The Polish roads were in a terrible state, but it's been a worthwhile trip. I found a tutor for little Nikolai in Switzerland, and my health has never been better. How are you, Father?
How am I? Delighted, my boy, ecstatic. That Rostov woman has given you your marching orders.
I don't understand.
Oh, read this. You sent it to your sister, then you'll understand. Well, why so grim? You're well out of it, if you ask me, little minx. She and Anatole Kuragin deserve each other.
Anatole Kuragin? What's he got to do with it?
You have a rival, my boy. Mamselle Bourienne tells me it's the talk of Moscow, how Anatole and the Rostov hussy tried to elope.
I don't believe it. Who's saying this?
Stick your head out the window and listen, my boy. They'll be singing ballads about you, yeah. Anyway, there it is, in black and white. You're not good enough for him, my boy. Only Anatole Kuragin can satisfy the likes of her.
That's enough, Father.
Well, I'm sorry. I told you from the first it was an error of judgment.
An error of judgment. Yes. We shan't speak of it again, Father.
It's good to have you home, Andre.
There you are. Have you heard the news of Anatole's latest escapade?
You wouldn't believe how close I came to bagging a real prize, old bear.
Poor Anatole, so near and yet so far.
Wherever you are, madame, there is vice and evil.
Pierre, really, my drawing room is hardly the place for...
Anatole, come with me. I must speak to you.
He must speak with me. Dear, dear, don't pull at me, sir. I shall follow like a lamb.
Not a straight answer, Anatole. Did you promise Countess Natasha to marry her? Were you about to elope with her?
No, sir. I don't consider myself bound to answer questions put to me in that term.
You answer me, damn you!
Steady now, steady. Look what you've done. You've torn up a button.
Did you promise to marry her?
It never occurred to me. I never promised. How could I promise? You know the story, Pierre.
Now tomorrow you must leave Moscow.
How can
I go, sir? And you must never breathe a word of what has passed between you and Countess Rostov. I know I can't prevent your doing so, but if you have a spark of conscience...
Really, Pierre, I can't see what business...
You can't see! Open your eyes, Anatole. You've nearly ruined a whole life. Amuse yourself with women like my wife. They're fair game. They come armed against you by the same debauchery. But to promise a young girl to marry her, to deceive her, to kidnap her, surely you understand that that is as mean as beating an old man or a child.
I don't know about that. Anyway, you've used such words to me, mean and so on, which as a man of honour I cannot allow anyone to use.
Is it satisfaction you want?
You could at least take back your words. I mean... If you want me to do as you wish.
I take them back. Please forgive me. And if you need money for your journey...
Well, now that you mention it...
You're a vile man, Anatole. Heartless and mercenary.
Even the heartless must live, old bear.
Pierre, come in. I take it you've heard the extraordinary news.
Andre, I couldn't be more sorry.
Don't worry. Posterity will do him justice. You must remember that Speransky had numerous enemies at court.
Speransky?
Surely you've heard. Speransky has been accused of treachery to the Tsar. They have exiled him to Nizhny Novgorod. Now all his so-called supporters are saying what a scoundrel he was. That's always the way, of course.
Yes, yes, to be sure. Is this why you've sent for me?
Huh? No. I have received a refusal from the Countess Rostov. There are reports of your brother-in-law, Anatole Karagin, having sought her hand. Is it true?
Both true and untrue.
Here. These are her letters and her portrait. Please give them to the Countess Natasha if you see her.
She's seeing no one. Natasha is very ill.
So she is still in Moscow. What about Anatole Karagin?
Anatole has left. Natasha nearly died.
Needless to say, I much regret her illness. I take it that Anatole Karagin has not honored the Countess Rostov with his hand.
He couldn't. He was married already.
Oh, I see. And where is your brother-in-law now?
He's gone to join the army in Moldavia. I think. I'm not sure, I don't know.
It doesn't matter. Tell Countess Natasha that she was and is perfectly free and that I wish her all that is good.
Andre, Natasha knows that she has made a mistake. I've always thought of you as an extraordinary man.
A magnanimous man, is that what you mean?
Yes, magnanimous. Couldn't you...
ask for her hand again? Let bygones be bygones? Yes, that would be very noble. But I am not capable of such generosity.
You are, Andre. You know you are.
Pierre, if you wish to be my friend, never speak to me of this, of any of this, ever again. Now, I must bid you goodbye. Pierre, there's going to be a war soon, you know.
A war, yes, so they say. The French at our borders.
Precisely. I'm off to join General Kutuzov in Moldavia.
Moldavia?
Moldavia, Austria, Poland. What does it matter where I go? Besides, I have a score to settle with someone in Moldavia.
Countess Helena. I thought I'd find you here.
Boris Drubetskoy. Of course I'm in Vilna. The entire court has swarmed into Poland, following our beloved Tsar.
Most commendable.
And where is your richly endowed wife?
Julie had to stay in Petersburg. I'm here tonight as a merry bachelor. More champagne?
Thank you. It's always intoxicating to be at a soiree attended by the Tsar.
Have you noticed the way we all swivel round in order to observe his every move?
His Majesty has already honored me with a dance.
These refined Polish ladies don't stand a chance with you here, Ellen.
Flattery will get you everywhere. Now, what's this I hear about Andrei Bolkonski tracking my brother down in Moldavia?
Bolkonski was too late. Anatole had already moved on.
I was very angry at Pierre for banishing Anatole from Moscow.
Pierre did me a huge favor. I wouldn't want Andrei Bolkonski for an enemy.
Bolkonski is being very silly. Doesn't he realize that if he challenges Anatole to a duel, then he compromises the Rostov girl's reputation?
My dear Hélène, he needn't mention Natasha. All he has to do is pick a quarrel with Anatole over some trifle, then calmly shoot him through the heart.
Don't say that, Boris. Anatole may be a bit of a cad, but he is my brother. Oh. I'm very fond of him.
I think we're in for some excitement.
What is it?
The man who just came in. General Balashev. He's taken the Tsar into the courtyard.
Is that significant?
Might be. Please, excuse me.
Happy hunting. Look at them all. Provincial society in festive mode. How exciting this is for them. As for me, I'm bored. Thank goodness Boris is here. He's a pompous little opportunist, but now that he's married money, he's slightly less irritating. Here he comes now, looking like a cat that swallowed the queen. Well, Boris, what's happened?
I wasn't supposed to hear it. I slipped onto the balcony overlooking the courtyard. Balashev was telling the Tsar that Bonaparte's army has crossed the river Niemen.
How thrilling.
And the Tsar replied, to enter Russia without declaring war. I will not make peace as long as a single armed enemy remains in my country.
I should hope not.
Well, Hélène, do you not realize what this means? Russia is at war with Napoleon. And I, Boris Drubetskoy, was the first man in the country to hear of it.
You have been a good friend to the Rostovs, Count Bezukhov.
I'm only sorry I couldn't have called in sooner, Maria Dmitrievna.
Well, now tell me, how did Prince Andrei take the news of Natasha's folly?
I think he was very hurt, but he was careful not to show it. Andrei is a very proud man. It was hard for him to be humiliated in front of his family.
And what a family. I think it's all been most unfortunate. But at least Natasha has been spared old Prince Bolkonski as a father-in-law.
Maria Dmitrievna, how is Natasha?
She is recovering, but still very weak. Meanwhile, her cousin Sonia does nothing but weep outside her door. And as for little Pietra, it's all I can do to keep him from rushing out and joining the hussars.
It's very good of you to look after them.
Their mother arrives from the country tomorrow. Not a moment too soon. Here is Natasha. I'll leave you to talk with her. Be gentle with the poor child.
Of course. Thank you.
Pierre?
Natasha? How are you?
Andrei Bolkonski was your friend. Is your friend. I know that he has left Moscow. But when you see him again, please tell him to forgive me.
Yes. Yes, of course. I will tell him.
I know all is over between me and Prince Andrei. I'm only tormented by the wrong I have done him. Tell him that I beg him to forgive. To forgive me for everything.
Yes, I will tell him. I promise. But, Countess Natasha, I should like to know one thing.
Know what?
I should like to know... Did you love... Did you really love the man who tried to elope with you?
You mean Anatole? Why don't you say his name? I don't know. I don't know at all.
We won't speak of it anymore, my dear. I'll tell Andrei everything, I promise. But one thing I beg of you... Consider me your friend. If you want help or advice or simply to open your heart to someone, not now, but when your mind is clearer, think of me.
I am not worth it. You mustn't speak to me like that.
Natasha, don't go. You have your whole life before you.
Before me? No. All is over for me.
All over. Oh, Natasha. If I were not myself, but the handsomest, cleverest, and best man in the world, and were free, I would this moment ask on my knees for your hand and your love.
Please. You are a good, dear man. You mustn't say this thing.
I have said them. Now I must go. Yes. Excuse me. I hope you feel better soon.
Where to now, Count Bazooka?
Where to, the club. No, not the club. I couldn't face another evening at the club. Home. Take me home.
Right, sir.
I told Natasha Rostov the truth. Now she knows. I am in love. The way she glanced at me through her tears. Just a few brief words and how the world is transformed. What's that above the square? A white light. The ministry on fire. No. It's the comet everyone's been talking of. How enormous and
brilliant it is. To think of it travelling in its orbit with inconceivable velocity through immeasurable space. The way it remains fixed in the sky there, like an arrow piercing the earth. They say it portends the end of the world. Nonsense. Look at it. A shining white light among all those scintillating stars. It portends a new world. New life. Yes. It is as joyful and hopeful as my own rejuvenated soul.
Episode 6 of War and Peace, dramatized by Marcy Kahan. Simon Russell Beale played Pierre Bitsukov. Amanda Redman, Ellen Bitsukov. Emily Mortimer, Natasha Rostov. And Gerard Murphy, Andrei Bolkonsky. Pietro Rostov was Sam Collins. Maria Bolkonsky, Abigail McKern. Old Prince Bolkonsky, Richard Johnson. And Sonia, Alison Pettit. Sean Baker was Count Rostov. Shirley Dixon, Maria Dmitrievna. Rachel Atkins, Mademoiselle Bourienne. James Simmons, Anatole Koragin. David Brooks, Boris Dubretskoy. And Chris Pavlo, Dolohov. Other parts were played by Tracy Ann Oberman, Anthony Afuebu, and Chris Wright. The narrator, General Kutuzov, was played by Leo McKern. The music was by Neil Brand. Technical presentation was by Tim Sturgeon and Rebecca Kirby, and the production assistant was Fenella Caparia. The director was Janet Whittaker.